You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
We're going to continue on with Proverbs. If you weren't here for the first message a couple of weeks ago, there's notes over there, or you can put up your hand and someone will bring them to you. I just put up your hand if you didn't get them. The notes really were an introduction to Proverbs, and I gave out a full set of notes on what I spoke because the introduction is incredibly important to understand how we're going to go through this and to understand just what the book of Proverbs actually means. And so part of the encouragement was to challenge you to use the book of Proverbs as your daily devotion for the rest of the year or on beyond that. Each day, today is the 30th, so you'd be reading Proverbs 30 today. And just muse on it, meditate on it. If you've got a family at home with you, then it'd be a great thing to do around the kitchen table at tea time or morning or whatever, whenever's an easiest time for you. And for your children, why don't you ask them to take turns in reading it? So if there's five in the family, five verses each as you go around. As it were. And so allow it to become a rich thing. The Word of God is such a rich thing. And so encourage you to do that. As I said last week, Proverbs is God's manual on how to live a dynamic lifestyle, focusing on proper and improper attitudes, focusing on our conduct and other characteristics. Solomon wrote the Proverbs to his sons. And so the context behind this book is the home. The context is in-depth training and instruction that Solomon gave his sons on how to conduct their lifestyle. And we're going to look at some of those. You know, it's an interesting thing. Well, I won't go ahead of myself, otherwise I'll get caught. The key word in Proverbs is wisdom. And the key verses are in Proverbs 1:7 and Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then chapter 9, verse 10 takes it one step further when it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So we go from beginning of knowledge to beginning of wisdom and understanding. As I said last week, we will encounter numerous characters throughout Proverbs. The three losers, the scorner, the fool, and the simple. We see the one winner called the wise. And then we have wisdom and folly. And wisdom and folly, they appear throughout Proverbs. And their job is to woo us, to win the hearts of people. Wisdom will call us to God and to life. But folly's job is to call us to sin and judgment. And so how we're going to do Proverbs right now is we're going to actually go through verse by verse from chapter 1 through to chapter 31, not all today, of course. And I want the Word of God to be in your hearts. I'd encourage you to bring the Bible in some way to church on Sundays. That you would open it up, that you would look at it. Obviously, a paper version is great because you can do notes. But I suppose if you're digitally minded, you could probably do notes in your computer, your iPad, or whatever the case may be. But whatever it is, as we go through Proverbs, if God speaks to you in some way, shape, or form, in one verse, make a note so that you can go back to it. Obviously, we don't have time to amplify each verse. However, we will unpack some of the ones that stand out. And hopefully, I hope that this will encourage you as you meditate on the Word of God. Remember, the Word of God is an incredibly powerful tool. I remember once sitting, listening to Pastor Hal talk, and we were talking about how many messages we've heard over our lifetime and how much really gets through and whether people really understand what we're saying. And we finally came to the conclusion was that it didn't really matter if they understood so much. Because as we sit under the Word, it washes us. The Word is a light and a lamp unto our path. It feeds us. And if we hide it in our heart, the Bible says it keeps us from sinning. And there's so many more things. The Word becomes a weapon that we can use in our warfare against the enemy. So on the screen, you will see the verses as we go. You can follow on from there if you wish. I would encourage you again, though, to get your own Bibles out. We will be using the New King James Version just because it amplifies the things that I believe that God wants us to hear. But I would encourage you in your devotional times to read the Message. Maybe read the Message 1 month, then read the New King James another month. Read the Amplified. That's a brilliant Bible version. But whatever the case is, let's work our way through. Now, just for those of you who watch the clock, I promise I'll finish on time. So if I find that I've run out of time, because I don't know how long it's going to take us to do this, if I find I'm running out of time, I'll just stop. And we'll carry on the next time I speak. So hang loose. Don't go clock watching now, okay? Don't go thinking, man, he said we've got 4 chapters and he's only up to chapter 2 and it's now 11:30 and you start to get irritable. I get irritable. So if I get irritable, you'll get irritable. So don't do that. We'll finish on time and I promise you that. Proverbs 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment and equity, to give practicality to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. In the King James Bible, it says instead of enigma, dark sayings. And dark sayings just literally means a riddle. It means a parable. And Solomon wrote in dark sayings. It doesn't mean dark as in dark as we would know it. It just means a parable or a riddle. So in Proverbs 2-6, we see an outline of the purpose of the book. It's for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, for giving practicality, for giving guidance to the simple in how to do things. And I'm a simple person. I like a simple book. For understanding proverbs, parables, sayings and riddles of the wise. So then we come to verse 7, the key, as I said at the start. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We will see instruction and discipline running like a stream throughout the book of Proverbs. As I came and thought about that, I thought of how we've been sucked into the world's thinking in regard to discipline of children, because there's a lot in this book about discipline and instruction. As we study Proverbs, I encourage you to take note, not to despise, not to push away what God says about how to train and discipline children. Think about it and understand that discipline and punishment are two different things. We punish our criminals. We lock them up. Please, when I speak, I'm not being condemnatory or judgmental. I'm saying it from the way my heart is receiving it as I read the book. If you differ, then you take it on with God. You know, I think sometimes when we send our kids into a room for time out, it's punishment. We lock them up and they sit and they meditate on what they've done wrong. However, when we discipline from the word's point of view, we give them a little smack. And by giving them a smack, it's a smack in love, not punishment. It's discipline. Discipline comes from the word disciple. It deals with a matter very quickly. And then that child can get on with life. You know, I'm thankful to God that when I do wrong, that I can come to Him, I can ask Him to forgive me. He does, and immediately I can get on with life because I know my sins are as far as the east is to the west. And I think that a little smack deals with things quickly. And I think, unfortunately, from a Christian viewpoint, we've been sucked into the world by thinking that a smack is wrong. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains around your neck. Now, don't worry. I don't think this is saying that we need to write out copies of Scripture and hang them around our neck and walk around with them. However, I do believe that we're being told to keep the words of God close to us, that they will be a plumb line regarding our actions and our thoughts. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Again, we'll see through Proverbs that it's full of warning regarding the things that are trying to entice us or to enlist us, especially to our young sons, our young children, the young ones. Remember, Solomon is here getting his sons ready for life. He's sharing out of his wisdom, out of his experience, out of the things that he knows. And even though we might think that our parents are a little old and a little behind it, they have had experience. My father's 90, and I now know that he knew a lot more than what I thought he did. My sons, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and the whole, like those who go down into the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We will fill our houses with their spoil. Cast in your lot amongst us and let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Obviously, this attempt to enlist these young men is a generalism. It's basically saying, don't get sucked in to doing the wrong thing. And we'll learn as we go on today how we can encourage ourselves, our young people, our lives in not getting sucked in. What we can do to help us in that. That's what the book of Proverbs is all about. That's what the Bible is all about. It says, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. You know, there's so much in this scripture. Literally, crime doesn't pay. Talks about those that are greedy for gain. Yeah, we can stop, we can meditate, we can muse, we can think about some of these words. That's why I encourage you to keep using this book as a devotion, so that as you continue to read it, the Word of God is a living book. It will speak to you. Verse 20, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. We start to see the characters come out, the scorner, the fool, the simple. We start to see wisdom and her calling. So wisdom is now giving her counterbalance. She's crying out against the previous verses. And this is where we again start to see wisdom and folly coming in. Remember in my last message, wisdom had three calls and folly had three calls. Wisdom calls us to God and to life, but folly calls us to sin and to judgment. And wisdom's first call, the first time that wisdom speaks, is from verse 21 through to the end of chapter 1. Wisdom goes on and says, because I have called and you have refused, because I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. So wisdom is literally telling us what's going to happen if you do not follow her call, if you allow yourself to be sucked in by folly. Obviously, this is being directed to an individual or to individuals, but I think if we wanted to, we could stop and we could think about this being directed to our nation or the nations of the world. We as a nation are choosing, I think, a path at present that is being drawn by folly. I don't see a lot of wisdom in a lot of things that we're doing at the moment. And I think that puts us on a collision course with God. You know, without highlighting any one thing, come to Romans tonight and you'll hear some of those things. Just take a moment to think of how far we've strayed from God's word, just in the generation that you've been alive in. How far, how much change have you seen? And you'll understand why I say we're on a collision course. My mind continually thinks about the end times that we live in. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah. Think about the way that God outworked his judgment upon the nations that opposed him. I think we're on a collision course. And I think that God has no option but to act, because we're making mockery of his word. We don't understand that his word brings forth life. And we are allowing folly to rob us, to drag us down into death and destruction. If we don't take note, if we don't allow God's word to lead us, then we are ignoring wisdom. Verse 28, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. The Bible does tell us that we reap what we sow. And there is an incredible truth in that. I find it fascinating to see how God outworks his judgments. You know, I know that there are many that get upset when we talk judgments, when we talk outworking of judgments. But more often than not, God doesn't have to do anything. He just gives us what we're asking for. He just lets us go to do our own thing, because we are rejecting him. He's not rejecting us. I'm thankful that God's grace has been upon my life, and that he hasn't given me everything that I deserved or allowed me to go as far as I could have gone. Verse 31, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies, for the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely, will be secure without the fear of evil. It's black and white, really, isn't it? It all boils down to whether we're going to allow the fear of the Lord to guide us and to lead us. If we are prepared to do God's word, to trust in God's word, to allow God's word to guide us, then we are well on our way. So we've now looked at wisdom's first call in chapter 1. As we move on into chapter 2, 3, and possibly 4, we'll see that wisdom in chapter 2 talks about protecting our paths. And in chapter 3, wisdom is all about directing our paths. And then finally, when we get to chapter 4, wisdom is perfecting our paths. So let's look at chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you will find the knowledge of God. Wisdom in the scripture literally means the ability to use knowledge properly. It occurs 37 times in Proverbs. And we need to know that it's not an abstract word. We're actually speaking about Jesus. We're speaking of Jesus. Jesus is speaking to us. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice. He preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. Without God, without wisdom, we don't really stand a chance. If you haven't God in your life, if you don't follow God in your life, if you're not allowing God to be your guide, then I'm not being unkind when I say you don't stand a chance. Because it's God, it's Jesus in our life that guides and directs our paths. Listen to this in verse 10. When wisdom enters your heart, when Jesus enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Think of the promises that are here. Think of the things that the scripture is saying happens to us when we put the right material in. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of unrightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters you with her words, who forsake the companion of her youth and forget the covenant of her God. You know, I had a picture when I got to this part and I started to talk about the prostitutes and the immoral women and all of those things. And I saw Solomon sitting there and instructing his young sons. I saw him letting his children know of the importance of wisdom, telling them and advising them, instructing them, challenging them, putting them on guard, read the danger of the loose women, the immoral things. I smiled to myself. I thought, man, that's ironic that a man who was the wisest of his day, who started off so incredibly well, who ended up in apostasy because of prostitutes, because of living a loose life, who allowed himself to be drawn away from his original commitments to God. Here he is instructing his sons. And as I thought about it, I thought, man, if I was a father and I'd made the mistakes that Solomon's made, I would want to warn my children so that they didn't make the same mistakes. Solomon might not have finished so well, but he was instructing his sons on those things that had been his downfall, that they might not follow what he did, that they might finish well. All of us have got sin. All of us fall short of God's glory. All of us have done things that we don't like. Sometimes I think we hold back in sharing wisdom because we are, in a degree, highlighting our own inadequacies. Nothing's better, nothing's more powerful than for a parent to share a little bit of their life and say, I got it wrong, I did it wrong. Nothing's even more powerful than children growing up watching their parents deal with some of the inconsistencies of life and learning how to walk through those things. You know, I haven't got time, but that's the important thing. Making certain that we pass on to our children the richness of our mistakes and how God has restored us. And this is what Solomon's doing here. He's not just highlighting the prostitutes or the seductresses or all of those things. He's highlighting, hey, don't let them suck you in because they'll pull you down. He goes on to say, for her house leads to death, her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. Verse 20, so you may walk in the ways of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. I hope you believe what we're reading today. And I hope you're taking it as a challenge, not only for your own lives, but more importantly, for the instruction of our families. Let's move into chapter 3. Wisdom directs our paths. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. You know, the heart is mentioned many times throughout the book of Proverbs. And Solomon is literally challenging, he's warning his sons re the power of sin. We've seen that already. How easily sin can trap us and drag us down, and where it leads us to. And so in chapter 3, he's now talking about directing their paths. He's talking about this is a key to stop you from going where you could go. I love the way that he entwines the word of God. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Solomon here is literally just saying the same. Let your heart keep my commands. Hide my word. Hide God's word in your heart. And then you won't follow the way of the fool. It goes on to say, for the length of your days and long life and peace they will add to you. Not a bad promise, is it? Long life and peace will be added to us if we would just allow our hearts to be filled with God's word. You know, we have an incredible demonstration of that. Pastor Oxy sitting in our midst, 98 this year. What's the key to your long life, Pastor Hal? If you asked him, he would say, Jill. He'd say, living God's word. Now, I guarantee you, he could tell you all the things that he's done wrong in his life. As you know from his last message, he didn't get saved until he was 38. But from my observation and from my knowing him, he lives in God's word. He still daily listens to God's word on CD, meditates on it, muses on it, continues to come up with questions, answers. He's sown God's word into his heart. If you want to live a long life, if you want to have peace, live in God's word. Let it become a part of your heart. Verse 3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Again, I can't keep reiterating this enough. It's a challenge for us. A challenge, an insight on how we're to treat this book. To read it, to meditate, to take action. To read it, to meditate, to take action. To read it, to meditate, to take action. The more you do it, the more it will become a part of you. By the time you've got to the end of the year and you've read it through 12 times, you start to understand, you start to let it become normal things. It becomes that plumb line, it becomes that thing that's in your mind that you all of a sudden use as a check. No, I shouldn't do that. Wisdom starts to highlight itself more and more in your life. We now come to verse 5 and 6 of chapter 3, and I think that this should be a memory verse for all of us. Especially our kids. It's one of those incredible many passages in the Bible that come with a beautiful promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. We could make a sermon over all of these passages. Trust in the Lord with your heart. Don't let your understanding get in the way. Don't let the thoughts that you have, or the thoughts the media have, or the thoughts that the educators have get in the way of leaning on the Word of God. I don't think a day would go by where this verse is not applicable to my life. It's what I would call a lifestyle verse for me. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be the health to your flesh, strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Again, picture Solomon. Hey guys, you're pretty rich, you know. You're rich because of the incredible blessing that God has poured out on my life. Now don't get stingy with God. Or because you've been given it, don't waste it. Remember where it came from. Don't forget to honor God with your first fruits. Not your second fruits, not the leftovers, but the first fruits. And if you do this, sons, what's going to happen is that your barns are going to be continually filled, pressed down, shaken together, and running out all over, Corinthians says. The importance of tithing, guys. The importance of making certain that God is number one. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the Father, the Son, in whom he delights. The Hebrew word for discipline is yasar, which means to chastise or instruct. Both words could be used. Chastise or instruct. They sound different, but they're not. It's the same word. It does involve correction. But its goal is to make a positive contribution to a person's training in righteousness. And as we would see from the context of what we're reading, yasar was meant to take place in the family home. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain more than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare to her. That's wisdom. I wonder how many really believe it. I wonder how many have put material things, desires for other things, far and above God's word, far and above the call of Jesus. If you're asking yourself whether you're doing it right, just have a look at your priorities right now. Your priorities are going to give you a quick indicator as to whether wisdom or possessions is number one. Verse 16 says, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. So if we would put wisdom as the priority of our life, we have the length of days, and we have riches and honor. Pretty simple, I think. Verse 17, her ways are pleasantness and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Think of the promises as I'm reading them to you. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from you. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. It goes on and gives us another challenge. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Time. You know, one of the things that I've found over life is that when I'm dealing with Christians, often they don't pay me or they expect something. It saddens me to say that oftentimes in our school, the ones that are delinquent in their paying of fees is the Christians. When I build on this property, or when we build on this property, it's very rare that I'll hire a Christian contractor. Because my experience is that if they don't do a good job and you hold back money to get them to repair it, they criticise you. They expect you to pay them, whereas the world thinks better. The world knows that you don't get paid until the job's done. What an indictment. What a horrible experience. What a horrible thing to say. I was so blessed when I read Billy Graham's book, Principles of Leadership, and he shared that he has a policy and had a policy when he was doing his big crusades, and it still continues now, that he pays cash wherever he goes, or never over seven days, because he doesn't want to bring discredit to the name of God. That he wants people to know that he is an honourable man, and what he says from the platform is how he lives his life. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due, when it is in your power of hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbour, go and come back, and tomorrow I'll give it to you, when you have it with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbour, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause, if he's done you no harm. Proverbs is not rocket science. It's common sense. I remember Alex Taylor once said, you hear Alex? Yeah. I remember Alex Taylor once said when he was doing a job and he was placing some rocks, and I asked him why he was digging a hole to put the rock in. He said, you ever seen a rock sitting on top of the ground? Rocks come out of the ground. He said, if it doesn't look right, it's not right. And that's the truth. Proverbs is common sense. Most of the things that we're reading about, most of the things that are said here are common sense. Yet we push them away because we don't like them. Yet they're there by God for our instruction to bring us life. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. As I said, I promise I'll finish, so I'm finishing now, and I now know I can only do 3 chapters each time. We can't avoid decisions. Decisions determine our destiny. We have a choice today: the path of wisdom or the path of folly. You can't postpone it, you can't avoid it. Choose one is to reject the other. To reject one is to choose the other. As I said, Proverbs is a black and white book. It's not rocket science. It's common sense. Folly will do everything to make sin attractive. She will never show you her true nature. She never tells you that her way is to hell. The only way to detect folly is to walk with wisdom. The only way to walk with wisdom is to hide it in your heart. Thy word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Wisdom have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. As followers, not fans, as followers, it's really a no-brainer. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't want to do God's will, if you didn't want to have life and have it to the full. Hide wisdom in your heart. Hide God's word in your heart, that you might not be drawn away by folly.